Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I am your host, Dr. Kate, and I am excited, of course, to welcome you to the show today, as always. As you are enjoying the show, remember to hit that subscribe button and follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Kara Hoholik. And I am really excited to hear more from her today. So she is bringing to light something that I think a lot of people experienced in these last 18 months. And so that is working, building a business. While you may not have experienced that, you certainly might be working and also managing virtual schooling for her children and how that has impacted her. Kara helps social impact business leaders create compelling content to build community around their work. As the founder of Social for Good, a content marketing agency that supports entrepreneurs, small businesses, and nonprofits, she works to amplify positive messaging, connect others online, and spark belief and a vision for a better future through content writing, design, marketing, and social media. From stay-at-home mom to CEO, Kara works on issues of global scale while chasing her kids around the yard. Her work has been published in Harness. She was recently featured in Authority and on The List TV and Ticker News, and she has contributed to The New York Times. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, well, I am really excited to hear a little bit more about your journey and have you with us. So to get us started, if you would, tell us a little bit more about yourself, your experience with burnout, and your journey to recovery.
Sure. So in the intro, like you kind of mentioned or alluded to the fact that I started a business during the pandemic during virtual school, which maybe wasn't the greatest idea that I ever had, but I kind of didn't set out to do that. I didn't do that on purpose. Like a lot of us during the pandemic, things completely shifted, you know, like what I was doing before, my priorities, you know, all of that stuff came to a screeching halt and we all had to evaluate, you know, is this how I want my life to continue to go? You know, what do I want to be really doing with my life and all that? So prior to the pandemic, I was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, pre-kids, I was a higher ed professional, so I know we have that in common.
We do indeed.
Yes. Yeah. So we can have a whole other episode on like
burnout. Yes, we absolutely could talk about burnout in higher ed. That we could there's a whole panel of folks that I could have on here for that. But yes.
Yeah, for sure. So after having my first child, I realized that was not the world that I wanted to be a mom in. Like that it was too much. So I was like, you know, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to figure out, you know, what else I want to do. So, you know, fast forward a bunch of years, I now have 3 children. I'm dabbling in a bunch of different things, doing copywriting, some freelance work, and things are kind of all over the place and I'm not really sure what I'm doing. There's not really a lot of focus, but I feel really busy. Like there's all this stuff going on. And then of course, you know, when things shut down, it was like, okay, now I have nothing to do. The agency that I was freelancing for closed. So I had nothing like personally, professionally to work on. So I was just home with the kids. We were trying to manage doing school on the computers. My youngest wasn't even in school yet. So she was just kind of like running amok. My husband was working at home. So it was just like all this stuff happening and it was busy. It was a lot and a lot of emotions, but I got sort of lost in it. Like, what am I doing in all of this? You know, I'm supporting everyone else in what they're doing. My kids with school, my husband with work, like trying to keep everybody quiet and all that stuff. you know, what am I doing? And so I kind of had to figure that out. Like, what do I want to be working on for me? So one of the clients that I had had when I was doing freelance work wanted to continue working with me. So I thought, well, I can handle that. I can handle like one client doing some social media copywriting. You know, I can kind of handle that with the, you know, virtual school and things like that. And then it kind of grew from there. I got a referral from them. You know, I got another referral, or people were hearing like, oh, what are you working on? Oh, I need help with that. Or I know someone that needs help with that. And so it sort of started growing a little bit organically. And I thought, well, if I'm going to create this, you know, what do I want this to look like? I have a clean slate. I can kind of do whatever I want. I can make it up. So that's sort of what I did. I knew I wanted to have a social impact lens on it. I wanted to have meaning attached to it for me, in the work that I was doing and then in the people that I was working with. And so it just grew from there. But, I started in August, 2020 officially, like, you know, got the LLC, you know, this is really happening. We're really figuring this out and doing this, and we're heading into the school year. That was, both of my kids were doing virtual kindergarten and virtual third grade. And then my youngest is 3 years old at the time. So she's home just like watching everybody on the computer all day. So it was a lot. It was a lot to manage. We had to be on the computers at like 8 a.m. It was super hard for my kindergartner, you know, can't read, can't write. And they're on the computer all day, supposed to be interacting with each other. It was like super chaos. And then my third grader, she managed it a little bit better. She could work a little bit more independently. She can read and write, so she can communicate with her friends and things like that. And my three-year-old just like basically watched Netflix all day while my husband worked. And I tried to like navigate all of this and helping them with their work and navigating, getting on Zoom or having internet issues and all of that stuff. Meanwhile, I have client deadlines and things like that. So it just snowballed really quickly. Yeah. And I really wanted it to work because I felt like because of the pandemic and because of all the other things that I was doing came to a screeching halt that I felt like the victim a little bit, like everybody else's stuff is still going on in this house, except me, everything I had was canceled. So I want this to work for me. Like I really wanted it to. So I said yes to everything.
Yeah.
No matter what it was or whatever. I was like, yeah, I can do that. Sure, I can do that. Or I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out. I'll do all the things. And so you can see that would end up being a recipe for disaster when I'm like trying to do all of these things all within my four walls without having support or a break or any of that. So that's kind of like, at some point it came to a head, like something has to change here. I need help. Yeah. I need to adjust how I'm doing things. Or it's going to all like fall apart.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like my beginning story of like where that led me and all that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that that is, I mean, there are a couple of things there that are really, you know, hard. And I think that people would definitely connect with. I think there's that overwhelming feeling of the, I think the busyness you even had before the pandemic, and you kind of noted it as the, like you had lots of things going on, but no real focus around any of them. And so it was just, you were very busy, but kind of that sense of like all of these different things happening. And then to go from that to nothing happening. And I think a lot of us experienced that in the pandemic. I know I did, and I was working in higher education at the time, and went from a very really busy spring semester schedule to, you know, navigate working at home and not having any events to attend, and really kind of being in a place of like, well, what do I do with my time now? So I think that a lot of people, I know I connect to that for sure.
Yeah.
As you hit the space that, you know, when you realize that here you're managing all this stuff at home, so managing the, you know, the kiddos and in virtual learning spaces and managing like your client deadlines and those kinds of things, was there a point where like you hit that wall or you hit that breaking point?
Things started to fall through the cracks. So I would miss things. And like, I'm not a naturally organized person. I have to work really hard to like keep things organized in line. Mm-hmm. And when you're working for yourself, it's even harder because so many of the deadlines are self-imposed.
Yes.
You know, you have client deadlines. So like I can get that stuff done. And then there's like all this other stuff that's like, it can be done whenever really. I mean, you can kind of trick yourself into fake deadlines, but like, I'm not good at that. So
yes, I connect you on this like that so much. Like I was like, oh, she's describing me right now.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not my area of expertise. So I'm like, things are starting to fall through the cracks. There's like paperwork that I find on my desk somewhere. And they're like, ooh, I was supposed to like address this thing, or I was supposed to fill this out. And it's stuff like that's important for businesses, like, you know, LLC paperwork and IRS stuff and whatever. I was like, you can't not do those things, mm-hmm. even though they don't have like a client deadline.
Right.
So things like that were falling through the cracks. I was starting to like lose things. I was starting to lose tasks or forget things, which would then make things need to be done last minute. Like I'd mm-hmm. be laying in bed and think, oh crap, I forgot to do this one thing. Okay, well, I don't have time tomorrow to do it. So I'm just gonna like get out of bed and just go do it really quick. Or I'll forget about it. So there was definitely a couple moments like that where I was like, this is probably not a good way to run a business and mm-hmm. not a good way to live life and all that yeah. stuff. Like that's not good. So it was a few months in. So around December 2020, I hired my first person to help me because mm-hmm. I could not do it alone. And I knew I needed to hire somebody that had different skills than me. Because I could do the client work. I could manage so mm-hmm. much of it, but there was so much stuff that was getting lost, and falling through the cracks. And so I knew I had to hire somebody with different skills that could help me yeah. organize that and keep on top of things. Cause that was not what I was good at. So that was sort of, I think it was getting up out of bed a couple times at night, realizing that I forgot to do something that mm-hmm. I was like, this is a problem.
Yeah. Oh, I think that that is such a key indicator when we start talking about, you know, burnout and those kinds of things, or even just stressors in life when people are experiencing things. And I know, I'm sure we have listeners who are like, oh my gosh, that has happened to me when I've been super stressed out or really overwhelmed with workspace and those kinds of things. And I know I've definitely been in that place where I've woken up in the middle of the night with like, oh my gosh, I needed to have done this today, or I need to have this done tomorrow. And I completely forgot about it all day today. And then find myself working on some kind of project or something that I needed to get done at like 2 o'clock in the morning, because it had woken me up out of a dead sleep. So I think that that's a good indicator. It's not a good indicator, but it is a good like frame of reference that our listeners can keep in mind when, you know, what are things that are happening that might show that you're experiencing some burnout right now. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned hiring someone. And so that was definitely, I think, you know, sounds like something that helped you. What were other things that you started to implement to like get you back into a space where you felt a little more in control of the things around you in your life?
Yeah. So there's a few things that I did. The first thing was that I forced myself to set aside time to organize things, mm-hmm. Because that's not something that I was naturally good at. And so part of the stress was like forgetting things. So maybe it wasn't necessarily that I didn't have time during the day to get it done, but I just had forgotten about it. So figuring out what those gaps were and organizing that. So, you know, there's so many online tools and all that kind of stuff. And you can get very lost in looking at those.
Yes.
So I know from personal experience, but finding a tool that works for you, or just like picking one and trying it and organizing your tasks. There's so many like task management systems right now. We're using ClickUp, which is really helpful because it's like everything all in one. Instead of having like a million different apps that do different things. Mm-hmm. And so that was really helpful for me to get organized and write down all of my tasks when things were due, like client information. So I didn't have to like dig through my email or wherever to like find the information. So when I was ready to do a task, like I had all of that there so I could get that done. So getting organized was a really big thing, and really forcing myself to make the time for that, knowing that it would be more efficient rather than thinking, oh, well, I don't have time to organize stuff because I have all this stuff to do. And it's like, well, all the stuff to do would take less time if I organized it. So really, really convincing myself that that was the truth, because it was so easy to just be like, I don't have time to do that. You know, and I still fall into that trap sometimes. Like recently, I was like a couple weeks ago, my downloads folder in my computer was like a hot mess. I hadn't organized it for like 6 months. So I couldn't find anything in there, and it was taking me so long to do my tasks. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find stuff in there. And I was like, I need to just set aside time to organize this. So part of it is like knowing that about myself, that I tend to let that stuff build up mm-hmm. instead of taking care of it. And so setting aside time regularly to take care of that. And so for other people, maybe it's not organizing things, it's something else, but setting aside the time to take care of that, knowing that that's still an essential business function, even though it's not tied to a specific client deadline yeah. or due date. Saying no is a really big thing. And I know that's something that people talk about all the time, and it's really hard. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm good at that, because I still say yes to things that I shouldn't. And I still say yes to prices that I shouldn't and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, like, it's still really hard for me, but it's something that I recognize that when I can see the pattern. So when I start to do that more, starting to say yes to things that I shouldn't. And what I mean by that is just projects that I know that don't align with me, projects I know I don't have time to do, or I don't have the team to do, and that kind of thing. Knowing that there's a reason why I'm doing that. Like, internally, there's something going on why I'm saying yes to all this stuff that I know I don't want to do, or I shouldn't be doing, so I don't have time to, and saying no. So it's not just about saying no, it's about figuring out why you're saying yes to stuff that you already decided you don't want to do, or a price point that you already decided you're not going to do that for. And I think figuring that part out mm-hmm. was key for me, because I would be like, oh, I'm supposed to say no to stuff, but there was no context to that. Like, what do I say right. no to, and what do I say yes to? And there are some things that you say yes to do for free, or to mm-hmm. do at a lower price point, or when you don't really feel like you have the time to do, but it just feels right to do. Like, how do you know which one is which and all that? I was like, so confusing. So yeah. figuring out why I was doing that, you know, was it imposter syndrome? Was I feeling stressed mm-hmm. about something else? Did I have a low budget month and thought, well, I have to say yes to everything because mm-hmm. I need the money coming in, or whatever it is. Like, there was a reason why I was overdoing it.
Yeah.
So figuring that out. And then, yeah, hiring was so helpful because mm-hmm. we were growing as a company, and I really want to grow the impact. And it was mm-hmm. sitting down actually with a business coach and figuring out like what I actually wanted to do. Do I want to be a solo entrepreneur, or do I want to run an agency and hire people and do mm-hmm. all of that? Like, those are very different career paths. So I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And I went the agency route. Like, I wanted to do that. I wanted to really grow our impact. I wanted to help more people. And in order to do that, I needed to hire people, because I couldn't keep bringing on new clients and serving them I couldn't keep doing that by myself. So,
right. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate each of those. So the piece of, I think, the organization piece, but I think the more important piece is like setting aside the time to organize, to really consciously think about what do things need to look like, how do projects need to go, and organizing those tasks and those kind of things. And I think that is incredibly important and not something we think about a lot. We know we mm-hmm. need to get things organized. And I know that's something that, you know, I'll tell myself, organize this, but then I don't necessarily set aside the time to do that. So I think that that's a key right. piece for our listeners for sure. I think the assessment around like why you say no to things and attaching that almost, I heard you attach it to, you know, almost some of your values as well mm-hmm. in that piece, but also that assessment in figuring out, okay, I'm saying no to this because it's no longer in line with, you know, with where the company is at, you know, regarding price points. And that's an important piece to maintain that boundary on. So I love yes. that piece. So listeners, it's not just that you say no, or that you need to say no to things. You need to have an assessment process for what helps you say yes and what you need to say no to. So think about those questions that you want to ask yourself when you are determining if it's something that you want to take on for yourself. Ask those assessment questions so that you know really truly whether it's something you want to say yes to or whether it's something you should say no to. Mm-hmm. In that aspect, I think that's incredibly important. Kara, it has been so great having you on the show today. If you were to offer one piece of advice to our audience members, what would that be?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I think it's the thing that's bugging you in the back of your head, like something you should do or shouldn't do or whatever, to bring it forward to the front and like think about it and process it. This happens to me all the time where I'm ignoring my gut feelings or like the thing in the back of my head. And then like months later or whatever, something hits me in the face and it's like, oh, that thing that I was thinking about this whole time, I should have done it sooner because now it's become like a bigger issue or something like that. So I'm always waiting for like a sign that this should be the decision to make or to say no or yes. Like I'm waiting for like a signal or a sign or something. And then I get one and I wait for another one and another one, you know, just like really confirm if this is good. So if you have a hunch or a gut feeling about something to work with a client or not, or to change what you're doing or whatever that is, to listen to it a little sooner.
Oh my gosh. I think that is such important advice, and especially for our audience members. So if you have that gut feeling, trust your intuition. It is a powerful, powerful tool for you to use. And the more you trust it, the more you lean into it, the more you start to recognize those feelings and how your body tells you things.
Yeah.
You're going to notice them more and more. I found that for myself for sure. So I love that you have shared that piece of advice.
Yeah. All
right. Where can our listeners connect and learn more about you?
We are on all the things at socialforgood.co, and that's our website too. So it's not .com, it's .co. Yeah, so we're everywhere on social media and stuff like that. You can watch me poorly dance on TikTok, or, you know, we have like social media and marketing tips and information on Instagram and all the other places too. But yeah, that's where we live.
That's amazing. And listeners, of course, you can find all of that information in our show notes if you would like to connect with Kara and offer her some gratitude and thanks for spending time with us today and offering you some great advice and tips. Kara, thank you again for joining us on the show. I am so grateful for you and your time.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
How amazing was our guest, Kara, for joining us today and talking a little bit about her burnout in not only kind of pandemic-related burnout, but also in starting a business and becoming an entrepreneur, and certainly things that we want to think about that we want to consider within our lives. I hope that you are enjoying the show and the tidbits and advice and stories that are shared here. Remember that if you are enjoying us, be sure to subscribe, be sure to follow, and do your friend a favor and send them the link to listen to an episode because they probably need to hear it too. We're going to move into our recovery moment for the day. And remember that we want to make sure that you are practicing your recovery moment when it is safe to do so and you have the time and space to be able to do that. So if that is not now, go ahead and hit pause and come back to me later. But if you're ready to go, we're going to get started. Today, our recovery moment is focused on forgiveness. It would be delightful to allow yourself the relaxation that is needed in order for you to recharge your life, that in order for you to change things in your life that you desire. A complete relaxation is impossible when you hold grudges. Sometimes it's hard to imagine forgiving those who have wronged you, but it is necessary to step in the, it is a necessary step in the progression of personal achievement. So let's begin by saying, I am ready to take the steps necessary towards becoming the best version of myself. Let's say that again. I am ready to take the steps necessary toward becoming the best version of myself. It may seem daunting to forgive people and instances of your past that hurt you, but it's actually very easy. Imagine a young child holding a glass of milk. Their small hands couldn't quite grasp the cup fully, and the milk spills on the floor, breaking the glass. This upsets you because milk is expensive and the cup was a family heirloom. Say that this upsets you very much, and you show your anger, and you hold a small grudge against this child for breaking the glass. Now, when you give the child a glass of milk, you will not trust him to hold it. And anxiety will become present in the child because they do not feel trusted. And anxiety will also build in you because you fear more things will be broken or spilled. Then the child may actually become more likely to drop things because that is the image you are manifesting of them. You will also harbor anxiety you were unable to let go of this incident, and it will be a recurring thought each time they need to use a cup. Now imagine again that same child holding a glass of milk. Their small hands quiver as they drop the cup, breaking it and spilling milk everywhere. But this time, instead, you are not upset in the slightest and forgive them. The child runs to grab you a broom and a towel to clean up the mess. They are helping you fix the mishap. They sense in you kindness, and they learn how to take action when something goes wrong. When they feel guilty for the circumstance, their ability to help is halted. The child is then likely to understand how to address incoming issues because everyone was calm, relaxed, and in a state of pre-forgiveness. They feel trusted, and they can trust you to help when mistakes happen. That's what we need to accomplish in order to create a more peaceful world for everyone. The ability to pre-forgive each other, to allow for a state of openness so that we can address issues that arise with calm and a relaxed outlook, thus aiding in a thorough repair and the ability to move forward and trust others. Now, let's do some relaxation techniques that will open us into a state of forgiveness. Notice how your body feels right now. Notice any places that feel pleasant. It could be as small as the tip of your nose or a much larger area like your heart. Just feel these sensations of goodness and allow them to expand. Perhaps these areas of nice sensations can communicate with those places in your body that feel stuck. Just observe how your body reacts when you allow pleasant feelings to communicate with stuck ones. Do the nice sensations hold a grudge against the areas of not so nice sensations? No, they simply hold space and communicate with openness how to let go. Allow for more pleasant feelings to enter your body now through the power of your breath. Breathe in easily and consciously, knowing that with each inhale, you oxygenate your system and send goodness through your entirety. And again, inhale goodness and exhale into an even more relaxed state. Inhale supportive sensations and exhale into relaxation. Inhale deeply the force of good and exhale into relaxation. Continue this method with me for 5 more good breaths. So we will breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. In with success and out with resentment. In with gratitude and out with fear. In with excitement and out with anxiety. in through your nose and out through your mouth. See how easy this is coming to you? You are a natural at communicating with the areas of attention, thus changing their very structure and frequency and converting them into a relaxed state. You are doing so very well. Let's continue with our newfound relaxed state to a place of forgiveness. This is a very important opportunity. It will aid you in progressing toward personal achievement in all aspects of your life. So visualize that you are in a beautiful garden on a mild day with fluffy clouds rolling by in the sky and the sun periodically warming your skin and nourishing the plants in this garden. As you admire the beauty here, the way the leaves of the vegetation are caressed by the wind, there are many colors of flowers throughout the garden. Their fragrance is sweet and welcoming. You look down to see a small footpath through some flowering shrubs. It is an inviting and mysterious path. You walk down this way. As you curve around the beauty of this garden, you inhale the fresh oxygen and these plants that these plants produce. You feel very pleasant and relaxed. As you round a corner, a small bench made of wood comes into view, and you see the person you need to forgive is sitting there, and this is the person you most need to forgive. They have been waiting for you because this is a very important encounter. You sit down beside them because this place is very safe, and there are some things that need to be said to this person. With bravery and courage, look them directly in their eyes and say, "You hurt me, and I have suffered for too long because of this burden I carry in the form of a grudge towards you. I forgive you. I forgive you not to help you, but to better myself. I forgive you and you will not enter my thoughts any longer. I forgive you because forgiveness leads to openness in all aspects of my life." You notice the darkness that was once in their eyes begins to lighten, and for a while, they do not say a word. Then the silence is broken. They say simply to you, "I will leave you alone now, and you will not be tormented by the thought of me anymore." They get up from the beautiful wooden bench and walk into the depths of a nearby wooded forest. As you watch their figure growing smaller and smaller into the distance, and then you no longer see them. Never once did they turn and look back your way. Good. Very good. This was an important meeting in the garden today. And as you breathe in new, fresh air, you feel twice as light as you did before. This is because a huge weight has been lifted now that the person you needed to forgive is no longer sitting within your secret garden. They have moved on, and so have you. When you rise from this meditation, doing so at your own pace, you will notice that you are eager and ready to take the steps needed towards personal achievement. And when you're ready, close with one more deep breath in through the nose and out through your mouth. and allow your eyes to open and allow your present space to come back into your frame of mind. Remember, for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery Show YouTube channel. I am grateful to our guest, Kara Holholik. Be sure to reach out and follow her at socialforgood.co. And I am, as always, incredibly grateful to each of you for joining me and listening today. Thank you for joining me on the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember, dear listeners, if you're ready to learn about your own level of burnout, be sure to take the Feeling Crispy quiz on my website, drkatesteiner.com. Be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery Show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.